Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. I'm your host, Shug. Having a good list of conversations going on tonight. March Madness in the house. We're going to get into some topics, a couple other sports tonight. And also, we're going to dig into some basketball with superstars such as Carmelo Anthony. Right now, don't appear like nobody's in right now. Oh, there we go. Got the first one. State your name, gangster, 5975.
You know, it's Ryan, you know, Mr. 330.
Mr. On Time, too.
Yeah.
First one in, pause.
Right.
I had to start a title of the show, Euro Step in the Monotony, man. We're just trying to get some fun back into this, man.
Okay.
Got a couple of topics to go through. First one I wanted to touch on today was March Madness, man. I'm going to start with you first since you're the NCAA fashionado, probably knowing the most. We got our Sweet 16 pretty much set. I think we're waiting on Oregon and St. Joe's to finish. Texas A&M just had a comeback against Northern Illinois. But we got Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Villanova, Gonzaga, Iowa State, Indiana, Syracuse, North Carolina, Duke, Notre Dame, Kansas, Maryland, Oklahoma, Miami, and Virginia. Looks like a nice little setup. And that shows out of those, it's six ACC teams. Remember, we was talking about the ACC,
right,
and having a deep. Well, they got a record for the most teams to get to the Sweet 16 this year with six. And that's NC, North Carolina, Duke, Syracuse, Miami, Virginia, Notre Dame. What you think about that?
I think it's good. I really, throughout the whole year, that's been something that I've really been talking about a lot because teams were really, you know, getting on Duke and stuff, saying they had losses. I'm trying to tell people the ACC is so deep, any person can beat anybody on any given night. So it really shows how good the ACC really was, or really is, I should say. And I like seeing it like that. I like seeing some of these upsets, like when Michigan State lost. That was good. I mean, because college basketball, March Madness is all about getting the teams in there, and it's all about the best team doesn't always win. Okay. You just have to be the best team that day.
Let me get another caller in here. Let's see. We got 6011. I think that's Big Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, I'm just want to say hi.
What's up, Big Mike? Next.
Well, nothing. Ready to rumble.
Ready to rumble, huh? So let's get your opinion on this March Madness, man. What was y'all reaction? Speaking of Michigan State, it killed my whole bracket. I had them winning. Oh, my God. That was the worst, bro. So what y'all think about that loss to Middle Tennessee State? Or do y'all think that was one of the biggest upsets? Y'all think anything was bigger than that?
Me, personally, I think it was the biggest upset in the tournament.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. I definitely agree with Ryguy. It definitely was a big upset. I know a lot of people had them going all the way in a bracket, or at least, you know what I mean, to the finals, and then let them go out in the first round. It's crazy.
Let me get next person in here, 8627. Your line is open. Announce yourself.
What's up? Everybody, yeah, it's Tay. You want me to go ahead and answer the questions? Is that what you was throwing out there, Shug?
Hey, go ahead and jump in since you're late. Uh-oh. We got a little... Does we have a little issue? No, we ain't got no voice issue. No, ain't nobody tripping. Ryan, you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mike, you still there?
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's wrong with your phone? Call back in, man. I don't know what's going on, Tay. Can't hear you.
All right. On Sprint.
I know, man. I'm lost. I'm using Google Voice right now. Tay, you still there, man? Speak for me.
Man, we had to go. Right. We had to go on.
Show must go on.
So let me ask y'all this, man. What was y'all best game, y'all favorite game from the first two rounds? Favorite game or favorite player?
Mike can go first.
Well, favorite game had to be the watching that Yale upset. That was one of my favorite games against Baylor. And then my favorite player right now is Buddy Hield. Like, he's balling out of control right now, and it's crazy.
Yeah. What do you have, 36?
Yeah, 28 in the second
half. All right, they're going to Tay right here. Okay, Tay, you back in there, man. I don't know what happened to your phone, bro. But, yeah, go ahead and tell me your, you know, give me your reaction to that Michigan State loss. Was that your biggest upset, or how you feel about that game, man? That bust your bracket up for you?
Nah, I mean, for me, nah, not really. Because, I mean, I ain't really, as y'all know, I'm not a real big NCAA basketball type guy anyway. But just hearing that they lost, you know, that was definitely a shocker to me. Anytime Michigan State lose, though, I'm a happy guy. So I don't care what anybody can say about that. But that's just being an Ohio guy. But I will say that Northern Iowa, that half-court heave to win the game was kind of crazy. Like, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, get the ball at the, you know, perimeter and just shoot a three and make it. Like, what's his name from, was it Wisconsin just won just the game?
Yeah, Wisconsin just won a game.
That three-point shot was pretty crazy. But, I mean, it's another one to just get the ball at, you know, the half-court and just heave it and win the game. So I think
that's
probably the most
crazy,
important
bro.
For me.
All right. And I was talking to Ryan about ACC breaking that record for most teams to get to the Sweet 16. So of the teams in the Sweet 16, Indiana, Oregon, or rather Iowa State, I think we're still waiting on Oregon. Just a quick little fact. Only four teams that have been the number one at the in the AP poll at the end of the season have gone on to win the tournament. The number one team this year was Kansas, and it's still everyone's pick, I'm seeing for the most part, for the win it all. But again, only four teams have been number one at the end of the season and gone on to win the tournament. Those four teams, Kentucky in 2012, Duke in 2001, UCLA in 1995, and Duke again in 1992.
You see the pattern in there?
Yeah, I see the pattern. Coach K, man. Yeah, sure indeed.
But I do like Kansas. You know, Duke has my heart. You know, that's my team through and through. But I have Kansas winning it all if Duke doesn't win. I mean, they have so much experience in. Like, they have a great coach, and at the end of the day, like, this is when coaching really shows up. Like, the players, yeah, like he was talking about that Northern Iowa, that was a great shot. Like, I watched that whole game. That was my favorite game. So it's been a lot of good games, mm-hmm. but that was my favorite right there. And then, I think I got Kansas winning it all if Duke can't do it.
Good call. So what's your predictions, Mike? What you think about the rest of the tournament?
Well, you know, I got a little insight with assistant coach at the U, so, you know, I'm going to take them as a sleeper pick to take out Kansas. And then I see them playing against, you know, Wisconsin. Well, no, I take that back, Indiana. So I got the U against Indiana.
You said
in
you got
final?
An inside coach with the U?
Yeah.
I'm going to need some tickets. I'll drive down to Miami.
You know, you got the insight to, you know, do it. You're the coach up there.
You said who?
Let's stop it.
Jordan Messi.
Man,
oh, yeah.
Coach
oh, yeah.
For them. He coached for the Florida Gators.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was it was still in Florida. I knew it was in an area.
Mute him for the rest of the show.
Get that mute button right there. All right, we're going to welcome in. We got 1-2-2-9. The line is open.
Yeah, baby. Back in this bully. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. It's Meech, baby.
Meech, the sports aficionado himself, back in the building after being absent for the past 2 weeks, man. How's life been?
Life's been good, baby. You know what I'm saying? They finally let me out of, you know, long talk jail and everything. You know what I'm saying? You only put nothing on my book, so I feel a certain way, but it's cool. It's cool.
Word. So, Meech, man, welcome back, man. I wanted to know your reaction to some of them first round upsets, including Michigan State losing, Purdue, among others. How you feel about the first two rounds of the championship?
Okay. My reaction is March Madness, baby. How you like that for you, you know? But yeah, no, it was, it's been great, though. It's been great, man. A little bit. I just like the fact that it haven't been predictable. I can honestly say, you know, I picked some of them, but some of this stuff is crazy. So I think it's good for the game of, you know, college basketball. It's bad overall for their seasons and everything, but I think as far as the tournament, I think it's more exciting than ever, though. So, you know, I think it's been good.
You got a favorite game, favorite player so far?
Not really okay, no favorite players, but no favorite players, but I like North Carolina, though. I think they're going to take it all, but, yeah. I've just been enjoying every game for what it is.
Word. So, who y'all, that's who you pick? You picking North Carolina to win it all?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Tay?
I'm going with Indiana. Just because. I was going to Indiana.
Okay. All right. So we're keeping it Big Ten. Mike, I forget. Did you say we was picking Miami to go all the way? I mean, I had to mute you for that bad information. But who you was picking to go all the way again?
All right. So I had the wrong source. It's all right. With that being said, you know, my sources were a little off. I had to make a correction, and I was going with North Carolina.
Go ahead, North Carolina. That's a popular pick. All right, next topic, man. We're going from March Madness to something a little bit more baseball. I know it's not everybody's big switch point. I used to want to play baseball when I was younger until I realized I can't really swing and hit. But I think it was Ryan and Tatum brought up the topic for real. Why isn't baseball as popular as basketball or football amongst black folks? I mean, it's kind of
a did they really bring this topic up?
Yeah, it was us.
Yeah, it was them. So we'll let you go first, Mike, if you want to.
Sure, I'll go first. Me personally, I feel like baseball is not such a hot commodity when it comes to the black population because of the fact it takes so long to, like, really get started. It's like there's 9 innings for the game, and you're sitting in the hot sun, and there's really, like, no highlights to the game except for, like, the home runs, but that's not predictable. Like, right now, from baseball, like, the hot thing for baseball is the strikeouts, and, like, right now, there's sometimes you'll see a game go 7 innings and nobody made the base. And I also think, like, the rules for baseball is kind of real intense. Like, takes out the fun of the game. It's like there's no fun at all just watching it from outside. If you're not on the field playing, then it's boring.
Cool. Hey, so, Tay, since you came up with really the topic, what's your thoughts on it?
My thoughts on it for real, I mean, really, it's pretty much
halfway.
The same as what my esteemed colleague,
halfway.
Michael.
I'm going to give you credit, too.
what Michael really said, I mean, for me, man, it's a really hard game to sit there and watch, you know, when you get in, you sitting down, and then you got to wait for, you know, 3 strikeouts, or 4 balls, and it just seems like it's just not a lot of excitement really in the game unless you hitting a home run or you hit, you know, a fly ball and you think that they're not going to catch it and end up catching it. Like, I mean, that type of stuff ain't something that's going to happen every single, you know, pitch. So it's really boring, honestly, in my, you know, I say it's just hard to really just sit there and watch. I could get through, like, the first couple of innings, but making it to a ninth inning is just, like, it's very rare. And I just think that's because there's less excitement in the game. That's why, you know, it's not as exciting or popular amongst Black people.
Ryan, since you came up with the question for real.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it has a lot to do with that, too. Like, I think the excitement level isn't there. I mean, as kids growing up, when you might have wanted to play baseball, like, as a kid, but as you get older, you get more trained to be an NBA player or a football player. And I think that another thing that's real is the reason why is that it's just not – it doesn't have the access like some of the other sports do. Like, you don't really hear people like, okay, we're going to go to the baseball field and do this or do that. And then if you do, you got to buy, like, all this equipment and stuff like that to really even play the game. Whereas if football, just give us a football and we gone. Basketball, give us a basketball, we gone. You know, I don't think that it's something that is can be played as often, so it's harder to get the interest for a lot of people, especially in the Black communities.
Yeah. I want to add one more thing to that, though. One thing I want to add into that, I also think it's kind of a traditional type of thing. Like, a lot of us growing up, you know, we don't grow up in, like, baseball center, you know, areas, you know, neighborhoods. Like, we grow up where it's a basketball course, you know, football fields, you know, there's not a lot of baseball diamonds sitting around here. And then, I mean, even with some of our parents, you know, it's just, like, not real big. At least I can say from mine, like, wasn't real big baseball fans where, you know, we would come in the house and it'd be a baseball game where my father would be like, hey, you know, come watch this baseball game. You're trying to show me the game of baseball. So I really think it's more of a traditional thing, too. You know, what we really introduced to is more basketball, you know, center. We're more around Blacks are really concerned where, hey, just that's the sport that we grow up watching, so that's the sport we would be more interested in.
That makes sense. Meech, how you feel about that? Baseball, do you think it's what?
Just to expand on what my, you know, esteemed colleagues have quickly pointed out, you know, I think it's more so the community-based, but just to touch on a little bit something different from their aspect, I want to say that I think that there is actually a lot of places that do offer baseball. I know Dante is speaking of, you know, the inner city of Cleveland, and they actually do have a lot of baseball programs, a lot of places that do hold it. I think it's more so if your family members and your friend base, if they aren't really into it, I don't think it'll trickle down to you. Plus, I think that with our culture, you know, they have cultural icons that we can look up to, like a LeBron James, like a Michael Vick, you know, those kind of people. Adrian Peterson, to where it's geared toward us. In baseball, there's not really big names that we can really say that look like us that we can aspire to be. So I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it as well, you know. And, you know, the media do have, you know, some part in that. You know, if they actually, you know, highlighted somebody who was African-American, making a lot of money and doing well in baseball and, like, kind of, like, making them somebody too, you know, then I think that you'll see maybe a little bit more interest on top of that. Just, like, add a different aspect. But other than that, I agree wholeheartedly with what my colleagues have already pointed out.
That's a good point, Meech. I just wanted to point out, too, on top of that, what you're saying, as you're saying, they're not really promoting probably in the media any above average, you know, baseball superstars that are Black. You know, such as a Barry Bonds. I remember he's probably the last Black baseball superstar, and they tore him down, like at levels, and they're still tearing him down. Bud Selig has said that he's forming an on-field diversity task force to combat diversity going into baseball. Just a couple of stats. Since in 1975, 27% of MLB was African-American. It's only now at 8.5%.
Wow.
The last black MVP was Ken Griffey Jr. back in 1997, and the last black Cy Young winner was Dwight Gooden, 1985. I mean, I almost wanted to count Pedro Martinez in 1997, but he's technically Latino. I mean, we want to take him, but, you know, it, you know, that's just reality. I mean, Latin Americans are
that's
almost
a great
major,
point.
Go ahead.
Well, I was saying, that's a really great point. That was actually something I was going to add on, is that if you can go down and see a whole bunch of Perez and Martinez, and I think that's why a lot of it is popular with, you know, people that are from here, from the U.S., is because they can really look up to people, and like how Meech stated, like, you can really look up to somebody like, okay, he's from where I'm from, like, and it makes you believe in yourself, but, like, you don't get that with baseball.
Right, and plus, you know, just to show y'all, I mean, just to tell you how bad it is, I mean, you know, John Tate thought that it took four outs for a team to be out, so that's really right there. Black people don't even follow the game. They don't even know the game. So, I mean, when you don't even know the game, how can you play it, you know?
That is true, man. That was bad.
Look, I correct myself,
ahead, Mike.
Man.
I don't like to intersect. You know, I did actually play baseball as a youth growing up because I was not an inner
you
city
play
child.
Else. I know.
I was not an inner city child. I actually grew up in the suburbs, so you know, I did go play a little baseball, and like you was, like
you
were saying, not the inner city. So like I was saying. You know, I was off the piggyback what you said, Barry Bonds being like the last black pretty much superstar in baseball that we are recognized with is very true. Like, cause there's really no one else that I remember. Because, like, the last, like, not before Barry Bonds, all I knew was Frank Thomas. And that was only because he was on the home run derby game I had on Super Nintendo. So that's how I grew up off of the black athlete in baseball. So, you know, I definitely piggyback what you're saying that the Martinez and the Perez is taking over, and it's pretty much their sport. And then, you know, you got the traditional white athletes that actually prosper in something.
All right. That's actually a really good point, and coming from a different perspective. I like that, Mike. One last quick point. Concerning baseball before we move change topics. Baseball is the only of the major sports, including hockey, football, basketball, and even soccer, that does not have a salary cap currently. The owners are adamant that they will not change into a salary cap, and I was wondering maybe if anybody would agree with me. It's just a thought off my head. I don't think it's true, but do you think that no salary cap has anything to do with more blacks being in MLB because of maybe, you know, the money it could possibly offer? I mean, Alex Rodriguez signed for like $200 million like 10 years ago. I know he's made well over that. Y'all think maybe the money, no salary cap has anything to do with it?
No.
Man, that was a compounded question.
I don't think it's a race thing. I think more so, I think they just got more money and they pick out, you know, people here are making money off these kids, off the game for so long. I think they just got a lot more revenue. I mean, how much does it cost to really carve a bat? You know, they're not really paying a lot of equipment. So I think, you know, the cost is low. They don't really have to worry too much into all that, you know. And I think it is still America's pastime. Definitely more white people than black people. So they're making so much money, they don't need to have a chance, you know. So that's just part of it.
All right, we got 5 minutes left on air. We got 20 minutes left total here. I'm going to get your last answers really quick on that, making 15 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I definitely agree that no I don't think the cap has anything to do as far as, like, the blacks going towards the sport.
Ryan?
Yeah, I don't think so either, that it really has – the money has anything to do with it. If anything, it should be a motivator to want to play the sport because you can make the most money. But Yeah, I don't really think it's anything like that.
Say.
Yeah, same here with what Ryan said. I mean, for real, I mean, the fact that there's a lot of money being floated around, you know, from team to team, you know, or player to player in that sport, man, is ridiculous. And that should be a motivator just really for a lot of people. But I don't think that has anything really to do with the lack of, you know, blacks really watching it or whatnot.
Word. So you heard it here. Young black kids get in to play baseball and make that money. Take it over. So last topic here. We're going to switch over to.
I'm not a stupid ass message.
Hey, real quick, before you switch topics, I want you to know that Russell Wilson did get drafted to the MLB. He just chose NFL.
Yeah, a lot of players do.
Black person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be noted that Russell Wilson is not black.
What?
All right. We are not going to get into that. I'm sorry, I had to. All right, so last topic really quick before we get jaded off staying on baseball. Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks. The Knicks lost tonight to the Sacramento Kings, 88-80, without Melo. Carmelo sitting out for whatever reason, another fake injury. Robin Lopez had 23-20 for the Knicks, and DeMarcus Cousins had 24-20 for the Knicks. The Kings, rather. The Knicks are sitting at 28-43, sitting well outside the playoffs, even in the Eastern Conference. So the question was posed, should Carmelo waive his no-trade clause and leave the Knicks going into next year, or should he stick around? We're going to start off with Demetrius.
I'm going to actually pay. I know it's going to limit, so I'm going to pass it off to Tay because this is his forte, and I want him to be on here. So I'm going to play it off.
Go ahead, Tay.
There you go. You're so kind, man. Thank you. In my opinion, I would say that, yes, the man should go ahead and waive his no-trade clause just for the comments that I said earlier in the week. It's really two things I feel like you should really go after when trying to get to the league. One should be, you know, making that big contract or getting that big contract. Two should be getting the ring. The man got the big contract. The contract ain't going to go nowhere unless he decides to restructure his contract if he goes to another team. So you already got one down. So now I think it's a point, man, where, hey, look, go ahead, solidify yourself and get that ring and go to a team that, you know, you have more of a chance to get that ring with. That's just really how I feel, with his no trade clause.
Tay said go. Ryan, what you think?
Yeah, I definitely feel like he needs to waive it. I mean, to me, it's for both ends. It works out best for both because they gave up way too much to get him and to try to re-sign him and give him all that money. And, I mean, if he wants to be like one of the greats, how everybody defines people as getting a ring, you got to get a ring. So I think he needs to go somewhere. It's probably only about four teams that I think that he could go to. But, yeah, I think he needs to go ahead and waive that no trade clause.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
Oh, I was waiting for this. Basically, off of what you just said, I'll just stick to the question. You know, I think he needs to go wherever he can get the money because right now, just looking at his stats on his own personal level, it looks like he's definitely on a decline at the age of 31. So whoever can save him and actually give him a ring, he needs to go. Or take the biggest contract he can get at this point.
Well, you know, he can get the biggest contract in New York right now.
Me, right, but you know, salary cap is also going up at the end of the year because of the TV deals they're getting.
That is true.
So money's not going to be an option for, a problem for most teams.
Sure, indeed. Meet, you got anything last to say about Carmelo?
Only thing I gotta say about Carmelo is fuck that bum ass.
Oh man,
Adidas.
Watch the mouth. Mute this dude. Get him off the air.
Hey, this is the best thing that happened to the New York.
Is it? So Tay, let me ask you this then: do you think Phil Jackson need to come down and coach?
What?
That Porzingis bling, bro. Porzingis bling.
Oh, no. It's after your question, sir. I don't know, man. I think Phil is a great coach, man, but I don't know if he could save the New York Knicks, man. He'd have to, of course, you know, have some type of say in who comes into New York and who leaves New York as well, which, I mean, coaches do have some type of power, presidents also, but, you know, I don't know. It depends on how much more of his power he really going to use if he did come down, you know, to the bench.
I don't know. Craig Popovich pretty much got that power, and I mean, he really worked with R.C. Buford and San Antonio. But Stephen A. Smith said Phil is a horrible executive. What you feel about that?
As of right now, I completely agree. He ain't showed me nothing that would make me say anything otherwise. So yeah, I agree.
And Melo, meanwhile, says he cannot predict the future with Knicks. He's telling, you know, basically he's, you know, pushing it off, saying, hey, I don't know. I'm focused on this season. We're going to play it out. We're going to see what happens. It's for y'all to speculate. Any of y'all think the Knicks can actually compete with Melo, Porzingis, and maybe one other superstar? At least
no,
compete?
Not at all. They can't compete with nobody at all. Period, except for the Lakers. But they need some serious help. And I mean, I wouldn't even want Phil to come down and start coaching for real. That would just tarnish his legacy. Man, he'd be having so many losses on his record because of that. He don't need to do that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we ain't live no more. We off the air right now. But
I'm
we
about
got
to
another
say, yeah, we off the air now. We off the air now, right? Yeah, I got a question. Yeah, since we brought the Lakers, can we talk about the bum-ass shit that I just heard? So they're resting Kobe so he can play the last game of the season? That's what we doing now? We resting people so they can play the last whole game? We ain't resting for the playoffs. We resting so we can play the last game of the season? This is crazy. That's not crazy.
Yo, man, that's not crazy.
You ain't hear about
no.
that? I heard about that a while ago. Yeah, Byron Scott said earlier in the season,
like he said
as soon as he found out that Kobe was going to retire, he said that he knew that his biggest goal for the season was to make sure that Kobe made it to the last game.
I was done with the Lakers when y'all told me that the Lakers said this season wasn't even about developing other players, that it was about that. What? For that to even come out your mouth, like you got some serious issues, like you got serious problems. Like, for that to ever come out, even if that's
man.
How you feel, man, you just can't say that. Like,
say that.
No.
I disagree with it. I mean, from my perspective, I think L.A. is really trying to do as well as to mask its mistakes, its front office mistakes and gas, not being able to provide Kobe with a winning team or support cast to win it. Winning team after trading Kyle Gasol. I think that was one of the worst, you know, final things that they done. I mean, to at least keep him or pay him. I mean, you can see what he's doing in Chicago right now. See that he's still a relatively good player, and him and Kobe had a lot of good chemistry. But LA's been turned over to, you know, Jerry Buss's kids now, and you know, though Jeannie Buss does a really great job with the front office and doing things that are non-basketball related. The fact is the basketball decisions have been coming from Jerry Buss's son, who has not made any really good decisions, including, he basically took over since they won the last championship in 2010. And it was supposed to be an easy thing to repeat. And that's kind of what happens when you have a change, really, in ownership. And when the ownership is that much of control, is basically the family business. It's not just, you know, we own a basketball team. You know, this is what we do. So, you know, he probably has an ego, you know, for himself saying, hey, I'm a Buss. You know, Jerry Buss did this for the Los Angeles Lakers. We had Magic, Kobe, and Shaq. You know, he bought this, he bought that. I can do the same thing. And I think that's pretty much what it is. His ego is running the Los Angeles Lakers rather than, you know, a real vision for getting a team back to being a championship contender. Just my humble opinion.
All righty.
you can tell who a Lakers fan is.
True.
Right. So I'm about to say, forget all that. That is just terrible. to come out and observe the season and say, yo, we ain't developing our team. We didn't worry about sending off Kobe for 82 games. That's suicide. True. And also, this
that's
embarrassment
true.
To say that you're resting somebody to play a last game. So you're going to say, forget playing these other games. All these people pay all this money to come see this bum. You're going to say, you know what? We ain't going to have him play on Tuesday in April. We want him to play the last game ever in a Lakers uniform. That's terrible. And you got to say that, even as a Lakers fan.
Terrible.
Just say it's terrible, man. Stop throwing
it. Terrible.
Just say it's terrible.
No,
it's
I definitely
terrible.
Agree.
It's terrible.
I agree. It's a terrible way to mask. I mean, they're lucky that they have Kobe Bryant in order to mask the stupid shit that they're doing. I mean, they're
right.
lucky that, you know, fans still want to see him. I mean, if this is any other team besides L.A., any other player besides Kobe, this, I mean, it would be talked about a lot more than what it is. They have really no reason to be proud of this season. You know, if I was Kobe, I mean, I'm surprised he's smiling through it. He probably – you know it's the end.
Exactly.
He's just, you know what I'm saying, happy that it's, you know, that he had a chance to ride through it, you know, 20 years. But this is probably the worst season of his career, and he's smiling and gritting his teeth. To
probably.
His
hand. Probably.
Okay.
He ain't got no choice.
All right.
I'll say definitely. Mike, you a fool for that.
Hey, man,
how bad y'all want me to
take it, man? Y'all want me to just accept everything? I'm still a fan at the end of the day. I want them to do better, but yeah, they fucking up.
Yeah, I hope he did say, Paul, did he say how long, how bad y'all want to take it? Damn, bro, you got to say pause or something. That was bad, bro.
He said it earlier, that's worse than me,
bro.
Well, you ain't let me finish what I was saying, though. I mean, I couldn't say Paul definitely.
Paul was not going to be
said
part of
it
this thing, man.
It was.
How much time we got left?
We got 5, 6, 7 more minutes, and I'm getting all of y'all. Come on, stay online.
Yeah, we got 5, 6, 7 more minutes, and I'm getting all of y'all. Come on.
What y'all say? So come on, man. Are we just going to have a pause fest now for the last 7 minutes? Ain't nobody got nothing to say about sports.
I mean, I got a lot to say. I just don't want to dominate, you know what I'm saying, the conversation as well.
Say something there.
No, go ahead, Meech. What you got?
I'm going to dominate the conversation. We ain't got
it. I mean. Want me to show you?
Oh man!
Oh,
I'm choking. Oh no!
My whole plan was to get through these all of these notes that I had, you know, all of these topics, and we really did get through them. And we had just a little bit more time than what I expected, and it is priceless.
Hey,
good show, fellas. I appreciate it, man.
It was a good show.
No problem. I'm excited not to go in on Carmelo.
Say what?
Where was you raised again, Mike?
Hey, you know who I am, bro. Mr. No Street Cred.
I just wanted to make sure, you know, the fans listened to the show and understood. You know, what was the name of the city?
The guy started talking about Carmelo again. What's going on? You want me to pull up these notes? I took my rant. I fell back. I didn't go in.
Look, I just want to make sure we all understood, man.
Hey,
all I know is wherever
I
anything
go,
y'all
I
looking
say
for,
OH, they say IO.
Right.
Wow.
So anything y'all looking forward to this week, man, coming up?
What was the question?
Anything y'all looking forward to this week coming up?
Nigga, Ryan in the bathroom? No, sure. To be honest, man, no. That, honestly, I'm looking forward to other than this NFL, just, you know, the free agency, just to see what else happens. You know, that's really the thing I've been looking forward to, just seeing what the Browns do, what bad decisions they're going to make going forward to ruin my life for a whole nother season. So, yeah, that's about all I'm looking forward to.
Hey, what was you saying? I thought he was the man.
What?
I thought you were saying he was the
know.
Man. And you.
He was the man. All
right. So, Ryan, what you looking forward to? What you looking forward to in sports this week, man?
Well, man, just really the March Madness and stuff. And I'm surprised no one brought up the Warriors. And I'm trying to see, you know, how they go bounce back from that loss or whatever. And I've been hearing a few things talking about that. At first they was talking about they might go for the record, or they were saying that they are going to go for the record. But then I also been hearing that they might start resting more players. So I was wondering if, like, that might have them, you know, I've seen when they had a few losses, like, and they had, a few games, and they sat down, like, Curry, and they when they sat down, the big black dude, what's his name? Green.
Whoa.
Green.
Whoa.
The big black dude. So I just was curious as far as how that's going to turn out. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
Word, meat.
Oh,
anything you looking for?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, yeah. I'm looking forward to see what NBA analyst during March Madness went on Backpage and got caught this season.
Oh, wow.
It was real interesting how, you know, Greg Anthony got caught last year, so I want to see which one got caught up this year. So I'm waiting to hear about that. Well, you know what? You know what's so crazy is that somebody had one of the players got caught on Backpage around Super Bowl time.
Oh, yeah,
like,
one of the players.
Yeah.
Denver.
Yep.
Safety. Rookie safety.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, St. Joe's is leading Oregon by 7 points with 5 minutes left.
Who?
St. Joseph's is leading Oregon, the number one seed.
Oh, wow.
Oregon, yeah.
They sure are.
Yeah.
Let's go, St. Joe!
They balling out here.
Yep, and that is you cheer for that up
so,
there.
So, yeah.
It's somebody who owed a bookie $2,000 about to lose their legs, and you cheer.
Hey, y'all, we got 60 seconds left.
Hey, man, if you want to hear about that, you go ahead and hear about that. But they fucking jerked them, man. They fucking jerked them.
What y'all think about Dwight Howard caught with some what was it? The sticky stuff in his hand.
Oh, this dude is weak, man. Weak.
They said he used a sticky substance and Houston's off to the Atlanta Hawks.